Welcome back to Source Code. This is the Black Hat USA preview edition, and joining me now is Dennis Fisher, editor-in-chief with Decipher, to give a very high-level overview of the show. Dennis, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to talk about Black Hat. I'm not going this year. It's been a few years since I'm going, but you're going, which is very exciting.
Yeah. And we'll be covering the show both in Vegas and remotely. And, you know, I can enjoy the very hot weather there. You can enjoy kind of the kind of hot weather back in New England.
Yep.
It'd be good. But yeah, the show looks really interesting this year. What sticks out to me just from the start is, you know, the keynotes are, it's all women keynotes. And, you know, we've got like some big names like Kemba Walden, the National Cyber Director, Maria Markstetter. I'm going to miss the pronunciation there.
I know, that's a tough one for me too.
Yeah. And then Jen Easterly. So we've got lots of really cool viewpoints, both from the government and then also from industry itself.
Yeah, it didn't even occur to me that it was all female keynotes until I was looking through the schedule yesterday, I think. And it just kind of dawned on me. I was like, oh, wait, wow, look at this. This is great. It's amazing. And it's not just like, oh, let's try and get, you know, women for women's sake. These are obviously, I would say, I mean, the two most powerful women in government security. And for people that don't know who Maria is, you may know her as Azaria online. And she's, I don't know, maybe the top hardware security, you know, handful of hardware security people that I know, intimidatingly smart, you know, like all those hardware security people are. That keynote should be amazing. I don't know how much of it I'm going to understand, but it should be. I've seen her speak several times. I saw her at SAS a bunch of times. Really, really great. And I've seen Jenny Easterly speak. I don't think I've ever seen Kemba speak, but I think all three of those will be really good.
Yeah. And, you know, there's no one better to speak about AI than Maria. I think having that kind of reverse engineering and, you know, processor focused, exploitation focused background, I think is going to be really interesting to see what she has to say about AI and how it will impact things and really the technology part of it, not like the doom and gloom part of it.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah. So
that was, I mean, the AI machine learning piece of it is another thing that stuck out to me. There's an entire track of that this year, which I think this might be the first year. I'm not positive. I don't recall from last year, but that even the ones that aren't in that track, there seems to be an AI component to 75% of the talks. You know, there's some, I think it's one of those phrases that a bunch of people threw in their abstracts because they were like, well, this will catch the, you know, reviewer's attention and might get me an extra point or two.
AI, like
absolutely. There, you know, every 4 or 5 years, there's one of those catchphrases that just sort of it takes over for a year or two. And you just kind of like, well, I guess we got to roll with this for a few years because this is what it is. But there are some talks that look interesting to me in that track and along the AI lines. I do tend to be allergic to AI stuff in general, just because I feel like it's so ill-defined, especially in the security world.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect with a lot of those, but I do think Maria's will be really good. And another one I'm really looking, I think would be great. I don't know if I'll be able to watch it or if you will, is one by Kelly Shortridge on resilience. I've spoken to Kelly a bunch of times. I think you have too. She's extremely smart and always has, I feel like she has kind of a unique perspective on a lot of things. If you've ever read any of the stuff she writes or listened to her speak, it's not just everything's from a slightly different angle or perception, which I love because it's not just the typical, here's a bug I found or here's my take on this weird thing. It's, it's from kind of an off-kilter angle, which I love.
Yeah, that's so nice. And like the topic of like resilience and also like I think there's a lot of other topics, like you said, that go beyond just like the APT or the bug or whatever, and kind of look at how does this actually impact society? How does this impact business risk or kind of the resources there? I know there's going to be a lot of keynotes about, you know, so-called secure by design. That's something mm-hmm. that the US government has been pushing a lot right now, and CISA. And, you know, I know like there's like a session with like Bob Lord with CISA and Jack Cable talking about what their plans are to kind of promote secure by design. And another one by Daniel Woods on kind of liability and cyber warranties in software regulation. It'll be really interesting to see how, you know, these experts are focusing in on kind of moving that risk towards the manufacturer, and what we're going to see there, especially with everything that's going on with Microsoft and just with, you know, the US government trying to really put into play these new types of focuses on that area.
Yeah, the CISA and the White House really are pushing hard on that, pushing the liability down towards the software makers and the hardware makers, which is something that's happened in every industry over time as it matures. You know, mm-hmm. everybody uses the auto industry or, you know, sometimes the food manufacturing industry as examples. And there's not an easy one-to-one analogy with software and hardware, because, you know, software is essentially just like, it's magic. Nobody really understands how it works, you know, much like automobiles. I don't really understand how they work, but the liability part of it, I think, is becoming a big issue, not just for the vendors themselves, but for, you know, enterprises buying this stuff. For a long time, they've really had no recourse. If there's a bug in a piece of software that they bought and it gets exploited and bad things happen to their company, then what's their recourse? They don't really have any. You know, if they have insurance, some of that stuff is covered, some of it's not. You know, they have some of those policies have like the act of God, you know, homeowners insurance clause. It's like, well, you got hit by an APT. We can't really help you. That's essentially a tsunami. Sorry. Yeah. You're out of luck. Like we can't defend against those either. We're not paying you. So yeah. I'm interested to see how that evolves over time. Cause I mean, that's still an extremely young concept. Like cyber insurance isn't even 15 years old, I don't think.
Yeah.
So seeing how that evolves is interesting to me. And I'm shocked that there haven't been more vendors pushing super hard against it. I know they did for a long time in the lobbyist world, but mm-hmm. I think once it looked like it was inevitable, they just kind of were like, well, we gotta kind of go with it. Cause you know, we had a good run for 30 years of telling people this is as is, and you're out of luck if something happens.
Yeah. Yeah, things are definitely changing in that regard. And, you know, I did notice too, like, and there have been, cyber insurance has been, you know, kind of a hot topic for the past few years, but there were definitely a couple sessions on cyber insurance this year at Black Hat. They've got someone who's like the head of claims at Coalition, and a couple of other people that will be talking about cyber insurance and what the top trends are there right now. So I'm very curious to see what they have to say and, you know, how things are evolving at this point in time as well.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting time for you to be there, because as you said, you haven't been there in 4 years or something, like 2019.
Literally, wow, was that before the pandemic, basically? Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it'll be really interesting. I think, you know, things have obviously changed quite a bit since then. And I just looking through the tracks, I thought there were a lot of tracks back then. They just keep multiplying. There's 30, I don't even know. I didn't count them, but there's a ton. And it used to be literally like three or four. There was like, you know, hackers and defense, you know, government and a couple of other things. And that was it. And you just sort of sit in a room for 8 hours and listen to the speakers that come through. But now you got to really pick your spots and decide, okay, here are the things that I care about. And here are the three or four talks I want to see today. Cause otherwise you'll lose your mind trying to walk around that place.
Yeah. I don't know what's better, like having no options or having all these options. Cause when I was planning it out, I was like, that looks good. But then this is at the same time. So,
I know. I think fewer options is better. Cause it just forces me like, okay, you're going over here. It's like, you know, the Cheesecake Factory menu. You're like, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I can't look at all this stuff. Just give me five options and I'll pick one.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we'll have lots to cover. Lots of really exciting news next week. And I'm really excited to kind of see what comes out of the show next week.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be great. And so anyone wandering around, if you see Lindsay, say hi and be friendly. She hasn't been out in public in a long time. So. Yeah.
Yep. Be scared. I'll be the short girl kind of wandering around just in a daze.
Yeah. Just completely out of your element, but it'll be good. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Dennis.
Great to talk to you. Have fun.
Great. Bye. While you were having